several respects is similar to the one we studied last week, Psalm 42. As a matter of fact, the last verse is almost the very same verse. So you might wonder, well, why do we need both? Well, the Holy Spirit inspired it, then there must be reasons that we have both. Let me, in my little introduction here, in the previous psalm, David was cast down and could not go to the temple to worship. Here, in this psalm, David again is cast down, but he will again find a way to worship God with joy. Now, I didn't go into a lot of detail about the comparison here, but in the last psalm, it seemed that David was away from Jerusalem and away from the temple and not able to get there. And we know that from the life of David, there was several times that he was either in exile or being chased by someone. And so there were times when he wasn't free to go and come as he would like. But this psalm expresses much the same sentiment as we found last time. That is, he was greatly cast down. You can relate to that, can't you? You've gotten into a situation like that in life from time to time when you've been really cast down and discouraged. Well, one difference that we see here is that there's no indication here that David is away from Jerusalem. So whereas before he was cast down and couldn't go to the house of God, here he could go to the house of God, but he was still cast down. Now, that should tell us something, shouldn't it? We are likely to be discouraged or cast down most any time. Even when we're free to come and go to the house of God, we can still be troubled in soul, can't we? And so a lot of what we'll have to say tonight is we'll deal with preparing our hearts to come to the house of God. Sometimes we're up and rejoicing. Sometimes we're not up, and sometimes we need to hear others rejoicing, and maybe it'll encourage us, and maybe we'll feel better when we leave. But like we've said so many times in our study of the Psalms, God is always worthy to be praised. And so we ought to find a way, even when we don't feel like it, to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because there's always something to thank God for. All right, verse 1. David says, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. What a comfort it was to David that he could, with clear conscience, plead for God to judge him rather than man. Wouldn't you rather your judgment rest in the Lord?
Oh,
instead of the hands of, especially the folks we got in some places nowadays, right? All right. David knew they did not know the whole story. All they would know was what they had observed. But David is willing to lay his case before the only one who looks upon the heart and knows every motive with perfect clarity. Isn't that right? God looks on the heart. He can discern the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. You ever had somebody question your motives? Ever had somebody question your sincerity in something? And you knew in your heart you were trying your best to do what was right. Well, sometimes we don't have that peace with others, but we can rest our case with God. All right? Now, God knows, and he will judge righteously. What a blessing to know that the court of heaven will do right when the courts of this world and public opinion are ill-informed and unjust. And quite frankly, it's a great comfort, isn't it, that we can think about the Lord being in complete control of all things And rest in that. You know, there's a lot of things that we'd like to change about this nation, isn't there? But, you know, this, it's been a great learning lesson for me the last few years, that I can truly go back into the Old Testament and I can find places where God's people weren't what they ought to have been, and God judged them, you know, by raising up others to come in and take them captive or just take them over where they were, whatever the case might be. And you look at that, and in principle, you can see a lot of what we're having to go through right now. And before I continue here, let's just think about that for a moment. What if, just what if, some other nation were to come in and take over our nation and change our laws, and we had to live under their rule? Do you know there's nothing new about that? God's people have had to do that in the past. But let me ask you this. Did God take care of them? Sure did. We may not like it, but we still got the same God who's got the same power, who's still in control, and who can take care of his people no matter who sits on a throne here in this world. Now, I never thought that I'd ever have to even think about that with this nation. But we, who knows? Who knows what we're going to have to face? But we do know who's going to be in control. Now that ought to comfort us. I mean, that's a great deal of comfort in the midst of whatever we're facing, to know that God knows and he will deal righteously. All right, and that ought to help us as we go through this life. Now, although we do not have a nation of peers judging our every move, you know, like David was here, yet we may have those who would question us. Nevertheless, we too can look to the Lord, trust in his righteous judgment, and know that the judge of all the earth will do right for us just as he would for the king of Israel. Now, isn't that something? You know, you might think, well, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. David was the king, and maybe the Lord blessed him abundantly because of some of those things. But no. The New Testament tells us that we're kings and priests with God now. He loves us just as much as he loved David. And he'll take care of us too. So we need to remember that and rejoice that we have such a God who's watching over us and providing for us. So David pleads for the Lord to deliver him from those who would judge him unjustly and from them who may have deceitful motives for their judgment. And as we, all right, let's take this lesson now that David's experiencing in that psalm and let's apply it to ourselves. And as we trust to the Lord and find refuge in him, then we can rest in him and face what we must each day with a clear conscience. Doesn't that help you as we go through life? You know, sometimes we lose sight of that. Maybe we didn't forget about it, but maybe we haven't thought about it lately. But it's good for us to be reminded that we have the help we need from our God. You know, you think so much about what's going on in the world today, it'll drag you down, won't it? But God has given us his word, he's given us his spirit, he's given us his grace, he's sent his son to save us already from our sins. If we can keep our mind on those things, it will help us tremendously as we make our way through the twists and turns and the pitfalls of this life. All right, verse 2. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Now these are soul-searching questions like we talked about last week with Psalm 42. David's asking these questions. He knows how he's feeling, but he also knows how good God is and how powerful God is. And yet he's going through this. Well, we're the same way, aren't we? We go through those kind of experiences in life. Doesn't mean God is any less good, does it? We know he's always good. But there's times when we need to learn some things. There's times when we need strengthening. There's times perhaps that we need to be brought into remembrance. Okay, that maybe we haven't been thinking about this like we should. So David asked these questions. But he started out by saying, "For thou art the God of my strength." And yet he's feeling like he is. His soul is cast down. So how easily the problems of this life can drain us of our strength. Have you been there? I tell you, it can get us down, can't it? Yeah. And at times, we don't feel his presence strongly. Have you been there? That's a bad place to be, isn't it? When you don't feel the presence of the Lord as strongly as you have at other times. And the more we focus upon our inability to resolve our problems, the worse we become. I think I've already touched on that. But hopefully, we will remember, like David here, that God is the unending source of our strength. Now that will cause us to rejoice. God's not limited like we are. You know, we can only do so much. Our resources are limited. Our time is limited. Our strength is limited. Our abilities are limited. Our wisdom is limited. We're just limited in lots of ways, aren't we? But not so with God. So he's our strength. So while the Spirit may show us something in his word, or we might receive good counsel from a godly friend, or sometime something preached may be particularly suited to a present need, or the Spirit reminds us of a lesson we learned long ago, all of these ways and more are ways God can strengthen us. When we remember that he is our strength and the God of it. Now, if you forget it, if you're not looking for it, these problems start weighing us down, don't they? But all these ways, you know, I mean, if you're waiting for God to speak audibly to you from heaven, you may be waiting a long time. But sometimes he helps us and strengthens us through somebody else. Right? And it might be you that he would be pleased to use to be a strength to somebody else. You ever thought about that? You know, we shouldn't be thinking that we're the ones that need ministering to all the time. We need to think about, if God's been good to us, he's blessed us with some understanding, we ought to be a help to others. Now, that works both ways, doesn't it? But we ought to be willing, if God has blessed us with that understanding, to be a help to others. So whether it's reading his precious word and the Spirit using that to open up something to us that's a help to us, or whether it's from something that's preached, or whether it's somebody that's a part of our life or gives us a call or whatever the case might be, God has lots of ways, but the point is, he's the God of our strength. If you've received some godly counsel, thank God for it. You can thank your brother or sister for doing it, for delivering it, but thank God for it. When you read his word and you find those precious nuggets that help you through life, thank God for it. This hasn't always been in our language. You know that, okay? And I'm sure glad of that, aren't you? I don't read Greek and Hebrew. I don't read Aramaic. Oh, but I love that word, don't you? And God, through his providence, and it's a good study. If you want to study out sometimes the struggles that many went through, in bringing, in this word being brought into our language. You know, the King James wasn't the first effort to bring the scriptures into our language. But you can see the hand of providence working in all of that. Some folks gave their lives in that work. And we take it so lightly today. We ought to reverence this word and read it. You know, it's one thing to reverence it, it's another take the time to read it. That's when it's going to be good for us, isn't it? Remember, Elder Ferris used to have a story about reading the word. Preacher came by the house, and the sister said, preacher asked for her Bible. And the preacher told the little girl, the daughter, said, run get that Bible that your mama loves so much. And she brought back the Sears Roebuck catalog. Now, are we reading the word? I think everybody here say, I love the Bible. I appreciate the word of God. Well, how much are we reading it? Are we relying on just what we hear on Sunday morning? Are we reading it ourselves? You know, if you would sit down, if you're not in the habit of doing so, if you would sit down and say, Lord, I need some help today. Don't you know that's an honorable prayer? Don't you know the Lord would give you a nugget or two or three or four for taking some time to read His Word prayerfully? You don't have to spend 6 hours doing that. But take enough time to read a little bit that you can carry with you. And it'll be like loaves and fishes. God can take that and multiply it to feed your soul. And it's amazing how many ways a passage can apply to your life when you need it. The Spirit can bring that to your understanding. All right, so God helps us in lots of ways. Sometimes there's been divine intervention. And perhaps you've had that in your life. I'm satisfied if not all of us, I'm satisfied there's been times when the hand of God has intervened for us. Whether He sent an angel that we couldn't see, or whether He just, you know, whatever. But there's been places and times in my life I can think back and think, the Lord was here and I knew it not. Like Jacob said, He watches over His people. Sometimes He divinely intervened. He's given us His word, which is His revealed will. You know, there's no reason for Him to speak from heaven those things which He teaches us in this word. He's already given it to us. And it's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. Right? Okay. So He's helps us. He gives us strength, and He's the God of it. He provides it. He's in control of it when we receive it, and He knows exactly what's needed. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad that He doesn't depend upon your requests to know how to bless you? We don't even know all that we need, do we? And sometimes what we think we need is not really what we need, or at least not now. There may be something else we need first. But God knows exactly what we need. But David mourns his tendency to forget or to put off going to God for His help. You ever done that? You ever realize you would have been better off if you'd asked God a lot sooner than you did? I think we could probably all think of something in our life when we've experienced that. He regrets that he's wasted time mourning because of his condition and what others are doing to him. See, he's cast down. Throughout this psalm here, he's discouraged, he's cast down. But he knows God is the God of his help, and yet he's still been mourning. So, after he expresses this in verse 2, yet he now firmly professes that God is the foremost help that he needs. Isn't that always the case? Even if there's someone close by that can help us, God is still our first need. He might be pleased to help us through somebody else, like we've already talked about. He might be pleased to intervene for us. But whatever the case might be, our help is in the Lord, first and foremost. All right, in this condition, verse 3, he says, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Who is them? That's right, his light and his truth. Okay? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles with an S. There was only one temple at a time. But you know, has God ever met with you in different places? Felt him in your heart? Has there been some special times and some special places that you felt the presence of the Lord? See, what he's talking about here is before he gets to the temple. Hang in there with me. He's discouraged. He knows that God is the God of his help. And he says, O send out thy light and thy truth. David needs something where he's at. Okay? Later he's going to talk about going to the temple. Going to the altar. But he needs some help where he's at. We need that, don't we? I'm thankful for these opportunities that we have to gather together and worship together. But I'm also thankful that I don't have to be here to feel the presence of the Lord. He's with us. And there's times when we can have some good times in prayer and meditation. Maybe you're having to go somewhere and you're driving along the highway and hope you're keeping your concentration on driving, but that's a wonderful time to meditate on the things of the Lord, isn't it? It's good for us. It's good for us. Meditation is to the soul like digestion is to the body. You get more out of it when you can meditate upon something. We don't do a lot of that in our day, do we? We Google it. We got to find it right now. And we, you know, and as soon as that's over, we're looking for something else or doing something else. But when it comes to the Word of God, you need to give it some time to kind of simmer in your mind and ponder in your spirit and your heart. Because that's when the Spirit begins to open things up to us. Thankful that we have a level of understanding of the principles in God's Word, but there's times when a very familiar verse, when we're pondering those things, the Lord can just open it up to us in a way that we've never seen it before. And we're made to realize how deep and rich the Word of God is. And that strengthens your heart. That causes you to realize there's a whole lot more here than just the words on the page. There's so much more to be understood, and we need the Spirit for that. David was in such a condition, he needed help from the Lord where he was, so that he would be in a condition to go worship. You know, we need that too. We need to pause and consider our own selves before we go to the house of the Lord, so that we can prepare our heart, because if we'll do that, if we'll put more into it, we'll get more out of it, won't we? Okay? Because we have the promise, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall get a crumb. That's not what it says, is it? They shall be filled. That's God's promise. Do you get filled every time you come to the house of the Lord? The promise is there. The promise is there. He can take, God can take what the preacher says and multiply it to your understanding if you're in the right spirit. So David realized he needed the help of the Lord. He needed to feel the presence of the Lord. He needed this truth, this light and truth where he was, so he'd be in a condition to go worship. Okay? Thus David pleads for the Lord to send him the light of understanding and the surety of his truth to strengthen his mind and heart against the adversities he faces. We need that each day, and we need those special blessings when we're ready to go to the house of the Lord. Having these in the forefront of his mind and having that renewed confidence, he once again is restored to thankfulness and desires to worship. You know, I may be getting ahead of myself, ahead of the notes here, but we sometimes we need to pause and count our blessings, don't we? And when we'll do that, we'll have a more thankful heart. I mean, we say that a lot, and I know you know the truth of it, but have you experienced it lately? To pause and consider our blessings. It's good, it endears us to the Lord when we realize, when we stop and realize just how good he has been to us. We need that. But as long as we're sinking in the mire of our problems and wallowing in self-pity, the devil has us right where he wants us. You know, I hate to admit that happens a lot to me. Does it happen to you? Maybe I shouldn't say it happens a lot, but it happens more than I want to admit. You know, confession's good for the soul. It's not good for the reputation, but it's good for the soul. And the old devil is sly. He's cunning, isn't he? And Paul tells us in the Corinthian letter that we're ignorant of his devices. Now, maybe Paul wasn't, but sometimes we are. Sometimes we don't recognize what he's doing. And so we need to be mindful of God's blessings, have a more thankful heart, so that we can have a better frame of mind to face these things in life. So the sooner we return to the Lord and remember that he's the strength of our heart, the sooner we shall be saved from our enemies, even from our closest foes, ourselves. You realize that? You know, we've talked about that expression Brother Michael Goins has in that song in our hymn book, our flesh is still my closest foe. We have to be aware of that too, don't we? Okay. Thus being delivered, we can ascend to that holy hill of praise. He's not talking about just one place. I'm going to tell you something. When we get cast down, discouraged, and we're in the valley spiritually, but when we're remembering how good God is and how merciful he is and how much he's blessed us and how he's watched over us and cared for us, I'm going to tell you, that can lift us up. And spiritually, we can be on the mountaintop. We can be on a hilltop praising the Lord. So thus being delivered, we can ascend to that holy hill of praise and adoration. We can enter into the tabernacles of worship and communion with God, Aren't you thankful for those special times that we've had down through our life when the Lord has blessed us to feel His presence in a wonderful way? And it wasn't always at church, was it? We need those times. It strengthens our soul. How often we grope in darkness and doubt rather than rejoicing in God's light and truth. Just think of what the opposite of. David's asking for the Lord to send thy light and thy truth. Well, what's the opposite of that? If we don't have that light of understanding, and if we don't have that truth, if we're not settled in that truth, then is it not darkness and doubt? And sometimes that touches our life, doesn't it? So we need to be like David to ask to send thy light and thy truth. May we humble ourselves before our God, repent of our self-reliance, and seek God for His help. Now I'm going to reread verse 3 when we get to start verse 4. Verse 3 says, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God." See what's happened here? He made this request because he needed to prepare his heart. Then, he says, will I go unto the altar of God. Unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Then, there's a sequence here. Here we find an interesting and a very telling sequence of events. Remember the previous psalm, it appeared that at that time David was unable to go to the house of the Lord to worship, and he was extremely cast down. But in this psalm, we find another occasion when he's extremely cast down. And this time, this was a time when he could go to the house of the Lord. But now, his mind and his heart was in such a condition that he was more consumed with his problems and the opinions of those around him than he was in being thankful and having the desire of heart to worship. Can you get into that condition today? Maybe you've been in that condition. Maybe you are in that condition. I tell you, the scriptures are real, aren't they? And like I've heard before, and I've mentioned this several times as we've been going through the Psalms, but it seems that the Psalms address every human emotion. There certainly is a variety, isn't there? No way we could really prove that statement, but there sure does seem like that's the case. All right, so before, he was in a condition where he couldn't go to the house of the Lord. He was cast down. We might think, well, maybe that was why. But here in Psalm 43, he can go to the house of the Lord, but he's still cast down. All right, I've already asked you, have you been there? Have you ever arrived at church without a desire to worship? And is it possible that you left without having worshiped? And here's the danger. Because remember, we don't need to be ignorant of Satan's devices. The Lord would have us united and brought together. But one of Satan's devices is to divide us. Okay, so it's possible that you left without having worshiped and with a critical spirit about what you experienced. Oh, we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard against this old flesh, don't we? Truth is, if we do not prepare our heart, we cannot worship God. There will be too much of the cares of this world in our heart. Remember when we talked about the parable of the sower and the seed and the heart, the soils? And that third group was those that where the seed fell among thorns, and it sprung up, and the weeds choked it out. And when Jesus interpreted that for us, he said it was the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And Luke added pleasures that choked out the word. When we come to the house of God, is our heart prepared to receive what we hear in the good ground? So there'll be, if we don't prepare our heart, there'll be too much of the cares of this world in our heart, and that will choke out the word of God. That is, those things already in the heart will prevent the word from having a lodging place. It'll prevent it from having room to grow, and it'll prevent it from having the nutrients and the attention for growth and bearing fruit. Matter of fact, when Luke gave his account of that, he said they brought no fruit to perfection. It's serious, isn't it? God deserves worship and praise from his people. He deserves it from all of creation. But they're not going to give it. Some of them are not ever going to give it to him. God's people should, especially if we've been blessed to understand the truth of his word and the grace that's been given to us. So, we saw in the previous verse, before David went to the house of the Lord, that he had begged God, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." This would refocus his mind and his heart. This would lead him aright. This would bring him to where he needed to be spiritually. We need that, don't we? From time to time. We need to be refocused. Okay? We need to buy our heart and our mind renewed. Okay? So this would bring him to where he needed to be spiritually, so that then, remember how this verse began? Then he could properly go unto the altar of his God. Do you know there were times in the Old Testament where the Lord said, "Away with these sacrifices. They're a weariness unto me." Now, God told them to make the sacrifice, didn't he? But they were to do it in the right way. And if their heart wasn't in it, and if they weren't truly worshiping, then it was just for naught. Now, if that could happen in the Old Testament, don't you know it can happen in the New? So then, he would be in the proper frame of mind to praise God. Not just because it was time to go there, but to properly enter into his courts with praises. He's worthy of praise and adoration. He's worthy of our time and our affections. So not just going through the motions, but thankful for the opportunity to worship God as my God. Sometimes our mind needs renewing, doesn't it? Sometimes we need to remember just how great and wonderful. I know we can't understand the extent of God's greatness and his wonder. But we can sure stretch our minds from time to time, can't we? To think about his greatness and his goodness, to think about the depths of his love, to think about his long suffering. We need that because it gives us appreciation and thankfulness for what he has done for us, what he's doing for us unto this very hour, and the hope that we have after this life is over. We need that to be praising him all the time. So, pause and consider how often we callously approach the worship of our God. You know what I mean by that, don't you? You ever built up a callus on your hand? And in those spots where those calluses are, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, you could take a pin and prick places on your body and it would hurt. But those calloused spots, it wouldn't hurt much at all, would it? You know, our heart can get that way. If we're not thinking about the goodness and mercy of God, if we're not thankful for what He's done for us, if we're not praising Him, if we don't have the desire to praise, our heart's becoming calloused. It's not, doesn't have the tenderness and the sensitivity that it needs. And that's not just toward God. See, when you don't have that sensitivity toward God, you don't have it toward His Word either. And we start allowing things we shouldn't. We get calloused. We need to be close to the Lord and sensitive to His goodness, His mercy, and His long-suffering upon us. Could this be a reason for some of our coldness and apathy? Could it be? Kind of quiet in here. Remember a story one time where a preacher came to a congregation and seemed like there was just not a whole lot of interest, and he started asking folks, well, what can you think of some reason why there doesn't seem to be a lot of understanding of the Word and a lot of, well, let's see, what did he call it? He said it was, why was there a lack of understanding and a lot of apathy among the congregation? I'll get it right in a minute. And he came up to one brother and he asked him about that, and he simply said, well, I don't know and I don't care. Coldness and apathy. We should care, shouldn't we? But there's a deceitfulness in sin that causes us to move in that direction of not caring as much as we should. That's why we need to guard our hearts. That's why we need to count our blessings. That's why we need to remember grace is unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. Worship is a grand privilege. It's not a right, is it? Now, we're enabled by the Spirit. God blessed us with that, but it's a grand privilege that we enjoy only because God has had mercy upon us, right? He has given us grace through His Son. He's communicated that to us by His Holy Spirit, which gave us spiritual life. And now, no matter what else may be going on in our lives, it's a crying shame for God's people to be so focused on that it crowds out our remembrance of God's mercy and prevents our heart and mind from being prepared to assemble and worship together with God's people. Just another way of saying, the things of this life can choke out the effect of God's Word. We need to guard ourselves against that, don't we? All right, verse 5. After David has considered his condition, after he's asked these questions, after he's begged the Lord to send the light and the Spirit of His Word, verse 5, he said, he comes back to his condition. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Disquieted is the opposite of having a quiet and peaceful spirit. David's spirit was not quiet and peaceful. It was disquieted. He's asking the question, why? Now, really what he's doing is examining his own heart. It's not that he doesn't know the answer. He's going to give us the answer in just a minute. But sometimes we get that way, don't we? And we need to reason within ourselves. We need to reckon, like Paul speaks about in Romans 8:18. We need to count up what we know. Be reminded. And then take what we know and follow it. But he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? This verse is practically the same as the closing verse of Psalm 42. And the answers are the same as well. Why was he cast down? He wasn't thinking of God as he should have been. He wasn't hindered from going to God's house like he was in the previous psalm, but he was still cast down in soul. He was still lacking the refreshing that comes from remembering God's mercy and from spending private time in prayer and praise. We need that, don't we? To keep our heart warm and tender with God. So again, David says, and this is by the inspiration of the Spirit, the answer for his return to joy was to hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He knew where his help was. He knew what he needed to do. He needed to still praise God. Have you ever done that? You ever been cast down or realized that your heart was a little cool? Maybe you felt to be a little distant from the Lord and you began to pray and sing some of these good old songs that we have in our hymnal? Maybe quote a favorite verse or remember a particular blessing that you had in the past. I tell you, it can warm your heart. I tell you, it can stir you up. It can bring you into remembrance of how good God is. So if we neglect private, personal worship, we will begin to sink with the weight of our troubles. But remembering God lifts us up. It restores the health of our countenance. You ever had somebody come up to you and say, well, what's wrong? You don't look happy. You know, when your countenance is fallen, it shows. A lot of times we don't bother to ask, but I do hope we'll lift them up in prayer. I know myself, I do that a lot. I may not be where I feel like I need to ask, but I'll say, Lord, you know what they need. Bless them, help them, strengthen them. You can lift them up. We need to do a lot of that, don't we? No doubt we've been lifted up many times from the prayers of others that we didn't even know about. Don't you appreciate it when somebody prays for you? Now, if somebody says, pray for me, and you say, I will, then do it. You know, it's so easy to say, I will. I'm praying for you. And go about your merry way and forget about it until you see them again. Right? Pray for one another. Lift up one another. All of us have challenges that we don't know about. We need the prayers of those we love, don't we? All right, so it restores the health of our countenance. You know, when somebody's been in the presence of the Lord, when they've been enjoying some prayer and meditation and reading the Bible and just been in the presence. Do you remember what Moses looked like when he came down from the mount after he'd been in the presence of the Lord for 30 days? 40 days, I'm sorry, 40 days? 40 days in the presence of the Lord. Do you remember what it was particularly about Moses? His face was shining. Can you imagine? Now, literally, his face was shining. You could turn out the light and... You ever thought about that? Let me tell you something. Physically, it may not be the same. But somebody that's been enjoying being in the presence of the Lord, their face shines too. their countenance is lifted up. He's the strength of our heart. He's the health of our countenance. It's a pretty good spiritual barometer, isn't it? Look upon somebody's countenance. See the health of it. And it helps us to remember who our God is and why we should fervently worship Him. That's a wonderful exercise to consider, not only just to count your blessings, but just think about how good God is. The blessings that we have that we enjoy each day that we probably don't even think about saying thank you for. That happens a lot, doesn't it? I suspect that folks that have to have oxygen to breathe very well probably are more mindful of thanking the Lord for the breath we breathe than the rest of us. You think? How many times, or how long has it been since you thanked the Lord for the light that the sun provides for us each day? The sun of our solar system. But also we can thank the Lord for the spiritual light that we have as well, too, right? We could go on and on and on. You know what I'm talking about. There are lots of things we take for granted. And yet God continues to be merciful. He continues to show us His goodness. Continues to be long-suffering. He continues to be who He is. But we don't stop to consider. So may God help us to stop and think about just who God is. His word tells us. He's lots of things in it. John says that God is love, but He's a whole lot more than that, isn't He? It's good for us to search those things out. Think about it. Meditate upon it. I believe it'll make your countenance shine. May God bless you. It's our prayer.